Okay, so I did an activity this weekend that I wanted to tell you about. And your weekend was more interesting than mine, but that's not for us to talk about right now.
That's not for us to talk about right now, but it was interesting.
But this weekend, I, with my girlfriend, we did this Guess Who. Do you remember the game Guess Who from the 90s?
Yes. Yes, of course.
With all the people, yeah, you pick someone, you narrow it down.
Don't ever pick the chick wearing the green beret. She's Maria. Like the easiest to guess. Maria.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All you say is, does your person wear a green hat? Cool, it's
and then
Maria.
It's over. Then it's fucking over.
But there is a thing going around on TikTok where people, or maybe it's not going around, maybe it was just a couple of people, but I only see a few TikToks, so I wouldn't know. But people are redoing, like printing out their own people and putting them on the Guess Who, and they're making like lesbian Guess Who. And so it's like all of the lesbian
characters.
I've heard
a bunch of different Guess Who versions where people even are playing with the original characters and asking things like, would your person like mansplain something to someone?
Or yes,
would your
yes.
like, cheeky shit.
And I'm so here for like the Guess Who revolution.
Yes, I love it.
We did
reclaim
it
we Guess Who people.
We did it and we played the other night and it was so fun. And then you're right about like you ask different questions, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so then that like jailbroke are thinking about like how to ask the questions, and with the original cards, the cartoon characters, Maddie asked me to choose which three that I would be sexually interested in from both the male and female pack. So we were playing games like that with the cartoon characters. It was a fun time.
That's so fun. Wait, I just want to be like, okay, I would be sexually interested in Ted, John. Like, I just want to like go through. That's so funny and fun.
Leo was both of our top choice from the men. He had gray hair, but a dark pencil-thin mustache. He looked very interesting.
Oh, I know who that is. I would fuck him. Yeah, absolutely. That's that kind of energy.
We're all
yeah.
here for Leo, yeah.
Leo, come for me, man. What's up, bruh? Mm-hmm. That little thin mustache. Okay. Oh, also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
It's updates.
Ooh, Fupdate edition. Welcome to the show. Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, human behavior, men with pencil-thin mustaches that, you know, really cross a spectrum of sexual attraction and sexuality for the games we're playing. You could play too. That is Jamie Ryan. Jailbreaking Guess Who in Los Angeles.
And that's Austin Williams having the same sexual preferences as lesbians in Chicago.
Always here for it. Why not? Come on, man.
At least in the realm of cartoon characters.
Sure. I feel like that checks out. Yeah.
But it was a really fun. Then you ask questions like, you know, like, would you swipe right on this person? And then it introduces like a speculative element. And so that's
yeah, because then this person's trying to be like, how well? It kind of becomes a how well do I know you?
It becomes
which is even
partially
more fun.
Apples to apples, correct?
I love that. Yet Guess Who meets apples to apples. What a vibe. I love it.
So
print
out your own
much.
People. Do it with people you know. Oh, my God. Take your high school yearbook and make Guess Who.
Oh,
whoa.
Wow. Okay.
Guys,
real quick.
It.
We're going to do it with our middle school yearbook slash just like people from elementary school. I can't wait for that for us specifically. Wow. Okay. Wow. I just feel like I actually know even better yet. Use photos of the kids you grew up with's parents.
That's really good too.
That's the
oh
version
my
I want to play.
God.
Fuck me up. I'm thinking about all the dads in the neighborhood right now. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Oh my God. And then you ask like, has this person had a sexual relationship with more than one player on the board?
Has you know? This person got really drunk in public that you know of?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. I can't derail on that, but that's my new
that's
favorite
That's one of my
idea.
Better ideas. That
floated
actually is one of my better ideas.
As a new favorite. But, yeah, we're not here to talk about whose parents did or didn't hook up with each other when you were in middle school.
We're not here to talk about it, but we could talk about it. You know
sometime I would love to talk about it. And if you have stories, write in. Yeah, let us know about it.
Yeah, let us know about it.
Anyway, this is the June Fupdate, so happy Pride Month, everyone.
Yes, happy Pride Month.
Queers and non-queers alike. It's, you know, it's a happy time where everyone, tolerates gay people a little more and also leans in with love. And so I do appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you know, and capitalism does, you know, weird shit with rainbows, but...
And this is what I'm... You know, yes, yes. You know, there's feelings about that, but it's fine. Anyway.
There's a lot going on, but you know what? Happy Pride to all those celebrating.
Exactly. So today's topic is relevant to this month being a gay old time, if you will.
Yeah, I will.
I wanted to talk about Comp Het, which is an abbreviation for compulsory heterosexuality.
And oh, let's go.
Yes. Can I just take a quick temperature on like your familiarity with this, like at any time or recently, or if it's totally
new?
So
I don't know anything about like the research and stuff behind this and like what people are saying psychologically. I do understand that compulsory heterosexuality is just the assumption that everyone is straight until proven gay.
That is partially it. And that's like a big problem of it.
Sure. Straight people, quote unquote, don't have to come out, right? But like the assumption is that everyone's straight.
You're not doing the same questioning of yourself to figure out that you're straight that you would have to do to figure out that you're not straight.
Right. That makes perfect sense.
So
because everyone your whole life has assumed you're straight.
Exactly. Straight until proven gay, which is frustrating. So let's grab an Urban Dictionary definition because that feels right.
Absolutely.
They tell us that comp het is a term generally used in lesbian circles that refers to when a lesbian is led to think that she's attracted to men. This can manifest.
It's interesting. I didn't know this was specifically put on lesbians. Okay.
And we will definitely be getting into that. So
yeah, that's news to me. Let's go.
This can manifest in her also knowing she's into women and thinking she's bi, or not even recognizing she's into women at all and thinking that she's straight. This experience...
I don't want to derail us.
No, but I want you to jump in with all of your memories and interjections.
Okay, cool. So that's actually really interesting, though, too, because we live in, especially in the West, in a society that, like, really sexualizes women. So I actually could understand how women who are sexually attracted to other women would maybe not necessarily clock it as like sexual preference as easily as men, because we're always exposed to like women being sexualized. Mm-hmm. And so that's just part of the narrative. Like, I feel like as someone who, if you've listened to the Kinsey episode, I swing pretty straight, aggressively so you could even say, according to that test, which was a real bummer. But, no, I mean, I think thinking about that, I'm like, yeah, but I also think like a lot of women are hot, and I've always felt comfortable being like, this chick is hot, because also just like there's a narrative about talking about how chicks are hot, no matter
just
who
the male
you are.
Gaze. So like, because the male gaze is the default like consumer gaze. Like if
totally.
I'm consuming media, it's usually via the male gaze, if you will.
Right.
And so women are presented as sexual objects like to both men and women and people who are neither. So
yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yes.
That makes sense to me. That's interesting. That's an interesting thought I hadn't contemplated too deeply.
And then the only other thing that the Urban Dictionary says is that this happens to gay men to an extent as well, but not nearly
sure.
as often or as strongly.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And that checks out.
Yeah, I agree. So I remember something about comp het from like a feminist class in college, but it's like had more attention recently from a 2020 Tumblr user.
Oh.
Handle is @cyberlesbian. This person's actual name is Luz, or L-U-Z. And
got it.
Cyberlesbian created a 30-page viral Tumblr post, Am I a Lesbian?, that centered on Adrienne Rich's theories and writings of compulsory heterosexuality from the 80s. So the idea of compulsory heterosexuality was like kind of talked about, introduced to culture for the first time by Adrienne Rich. And it recently, though, has had more attention. And I can't find like I think like the only internet artifact that made this pop really hard recently is this Tumblr post from last year.
Oh,
and so okay. I learned a little bit about Compat in college, but it was kind of like, yeah, this is like a second wave feminist kind of writing. And so it's like a little bit exclusionary. But this person, Luce, recently used a lot of Rich's writings to pad her 30-page post. So
interesting.
That came out, obviously, like tons of people read it. It went extremely viral. There were like some articles written about it. But then this year, there was a more popular Backlash article that came out actually just like a month ago.
And oh, wow.
It just kind of questions like Compat as an idea generally, and mostly explains how Compat is exclusionary in that it's not really an open ideology to like people who are attracted to more than one kind of person. So it says that it's like monosexual. So like if you are non-monosexual, so a person who is bisexual or pansexual and like can be attracted to more than one gender of a person, that those right. people become excluded from like this idea of Compat. The way that it's structured implies that like someone could not be bisexual and could not be pansexual. And so that's Got where it. Like most of the crux of it being problematic comes from. But
okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And we'll read a little bit about that in a moment. So that's kind of like what's going on the lesbian mostly slash queer internet with the idea of Compat right now. Like it's definitely like a trending topic and people are upset about it. So that's the temperature.
Okay, checks out.
So we'll definitely like get into the backlash after, but first I wanted to get acquainted with the Am I a Lesbian doc via this Vice article that I found, because as usual, like they pulled the same excerpts or better excerpts than I would have pulled, and there's commentary. So
there you go, sis.
Just sometimes you gotta let other people do the work. So I'd like to say
sometimes you gotta let people write for Vice and do the work for you.
This is Lindsay King Miller for Vice in June 2020. She tells us that Luz, now or AKA at Cyber Lesbian, who is now 21, told Vice via an email that the Am I a Lesbian document emerged from her own self-journey discovery. She says, I realized I loved women when I was a teenager, but I never knew if my attraction for men was real or a social construct I took in.
Oh, interesting.
As a facet of my identity. So this is like the main point of her like manifesto that she released.
Okay, yeah. No, this is interesting.
She said, I started researching compulsory heterosexuality and found that many lesbians had the same experiences I did. I created the document as a tool of self-reflection for myself and others. And so then the excerpt from her writing is, women are taught from a very early age that making men happy is our job. We're supposed...
That's true.
We're supposed... Then this is a very good excerpt. It's strong. Yes. So we're supposed to be pretty for men. We're supposed to change the way we talk so men will take us more seriously. We're supposed to want a man's love more than anything else. Our magazines are full of sex tips on how to better please men. Our movies are about how we're supposed to fall in love with men. We literally cannot exist in public without men loudly grading us on how well we're pleasing them visually. So what happens if you want to be with women? What happens if you're not attracted to men at all? When you're trained from childhood to see romantic or sexual relationships with men and only men as the major life goal, how do you separate that from what you want? And I definitely feel that. I don't know, like, yeah, pause for any reaction.
Yeah, no, just that, yeah, it's well said.
Because as a heterosexual woman, you are not immune from to that.
Oh, pressure. No. Everything she just described about, like, the pressure of, like, you know, existing for men's pleasure and, like, doing things in ways that are more pleasing or even sometimes, like, tolerable, you know? Because it's like you talk about pleasing men, but it's also like, but don't do too much of this because, like, then men will think you're a bitch. Yep. Yeah, I mean, for sure, not immune to that.
So,
but the lens of then what do you do when you're not attracted to men is not something I've experienced. It's another
mm-hmm. one guess, more layer.
Yeah, another layer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thick for sure.
They go on
like
to
a hymen.
That, oh my God. Lesbians have a secret second hymen.
Okay, I'm on board. I'm
just putting that out there. Wild misinformation. Speaking of lesbians, I am so excited to tell you all about Gay Shorts, which is a limited series, Pride Month only podcast, which is created, hosted, and edited by my lady, my honey that I sometimes talk about on the show, Maddie or Madeline Call, if you were wanting to like really search her.
If you really wanted to search her. Well, each week, Gay Shorts features one queer writer's story and a conversation with Maddie about their piece and also kind of their life experience.
And much like we try to do here.
At Why Are You Like This Ink? Go on.
Thank you for adding the ink. No. Leave it.
Okay. Leave it in.
Gay Shorts tackles heavier content in a lighthearted tone. So it's honest conversations, like hard stuff, queer stuff, but also a ton of laughter.
100%. And Gay Shorts is available wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes are dropping each Tuesday in June, which means if you're hearing this, there are already a couple out there for you.
Yeah, you can really like get a couple in your pocket real quick. See if you like it. You'll like it, I hope. Anyway, also,
you'll like it.
Be sure to check out their Instagram at Gay Shorts Pod. But most importantly, share this podcast with your straight friends. That would be
hear.
The best thing that you could do. Yes.
Yeah, listen, I'm a straight friend. This has been shared with me. What's up? That said, just to give you a slight teaser trailer, if I might be so inclined, listen, my dear co-host, Jamie Ryan, might be featured on an upcoming Gay Shorts episode. So, stay tuned. All the more reason to check it out.
Listen, I'm not a writer, but I dabble. Yeah, check it out. Anyway, Gay Shorts Pod. Bye.
Bye.
They go on to say that in the document, which at Cyber Lesbian says it took her 2 days to compose, she analyzes ways compulsory heterosexuality, which, as we talked about, was a term popularized by Adrienne Rich in the 80s, that refers to the pervasive cultural expectation that women be attracted to men, might present itself such as the assumption that any feelings you have toward a man must be attraction. Or only developing attraction to a guy after a female friend expresses interest to him. Or attraction to him, sorry. The penultimate section of the document, which is titled You Might Be a Lesbian If, TLDR, is a checklist of signs that a woman's attraction to men might just be social conditioning rather than an innate part of her sexual identity. So...
okay, this is interesting.
I would like to take us through. I read through all of those questions on the TLDR part, and I pulled the ones that I felt like we should run through / discuss and both answer.
Okay.
Some of these will be super quick. Some of them might be more discussion. So.
Hit me with it.
First, you wish you were a lesbian so you could escape the discomfort of dating men.
I mean... That's an interesting one. Yeah.
I've heard people say this. I don't know what that feeling would be. So I don't know.
I think it comes from a real place of like jadedness and just being fed up with men and finding like greater community with women. Then I think some people, you know, can set aside because it's not their experience, like the difficulties of like navigating being like a lesbian being gay or queer in any capacity. And like, if they negate that, they just, I think sometimes can look at like maybe their female friendships, or if they have like a, you know, a friend or like a family member in their life who is, you know, a woman who dates other women, they go, this just seems so much easier. Like the communication styles, it's just like, you know, so much, everybody's more on the same page. And that obviously is like really like,
they're focused on the alleviation, like,
well, it's just really a simplification of everything. Sure. But I understand, and I honestly, I think it comes from a place of just being like, so tired of patriarchal constructs and maybe some bad dating situations, mm-hmm. which all are fair.
No, all are very fair. So next, you feel like you could live with a woman in a romantic way, even if you can't imagine doing anything sexual with a woman.
I actually feel like a lot of female friends that I know have had moments where they've like questioned their sexuality because they feel some sort of like capital R romantic attraction or like comfort or intimacy mm-hmm. in the experience of like friendship with women. And then like just are like, but yeah, but I don't want to touch a pussy that doesn't like call to me in the night. And I definitely know people who have grappled with that.
Yeah, no, and anecdotally, yes, I do as well. I think that that is, like, pretty common.
Yeah.
Next. You feel like you could enjoy sexual interaction with a woman, even if you can't imagine having romantic feelings for a woman. So this is the opposite of the last question.
Yeah, this one's harder for me to comprehend, actually.
Oh, that's funny. This one, I feel like, is easier to comprehend.
Maybe that's because you're gay and I'm straight.
But if I think about it with men, like, I think it's easier to think about having a sexual interaction rather than a romantic interaction with a man.
That's interesting.
No, like, just, yeah, like, romantic interaction sounds, like, absurd. Yeah. Okay, next. You lose interest in a man as soon as they seem interested in you. And this one says very common next to it in bold.
Well, I think this too can be like a self-esteem thing. I think sometimes we're like, if we think certain people are supposed to like us or like, you know, we think somebody's like hard to get or like is going to somehow like alleviate our suffering if this person likes us. I think sometimes if you're operating from a place of like low self-confidence, I often hear like the narrative of people being like, well, once they liked me, I didn't like them because I assumed if they liked me, there was something wrong with them.
Well, yeah, then that's a really complicated self-esteem problem.
Totally.
Reading a desire to be attractive to men as attraction to them. This was really true for me.
I feel like this has been true certainly for a lot of people I can think of in my spheres.
I think also, and I wouldn't want to like assume this, but I would guess that straight women also sometimes feel a desire to be attractive to men who they are not attracted to. Just like
absolutely, I do.
Just
go like on.
You just want people to think that you're hot.
Yeah, totally.
And
totally
specifically
I do.
Men
yes.
Because of the power feelings, I think, and that
absolutely
that fucked up dynamic.
I have absolutely for my whole life wanted people that I had no interest in to find me attractive.
Yeah, and every listener, raise your hand. You did it too.
Okay, you did it too. We decide, okay?
We do. Next. You find yourself trying to be romantically or sexually appealing to men, even if you're not interested in them. This is a continuation of the last one, sort of, and I also identify with this.
Yeah, and a lot of this, too, can be like a power thing.
Absolutely. Very much of it is, I think. But then that does circle back to the patriarchy. Like, why do I need have this, like,
why do I need
sneaky
to power
sexual
over men?
Power? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Next. As a child, you always thought you'd either never get married or platonically marry a friend. And this was for sure my childhood. I also thought that a
convent
was
an option. Yeah, well, if you don't have visibility, too, is like maybe what like you truly desire. You go, okay, well, is this what I would settle for that seems like the most plausible?
Exactly. Exactly. Getting as close as you can. Then you feel like you're performing your attraction to men for yourself and/or other people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, not ready to, you know, come out about your sexuality, then
no,
yeah, of course it can be performative.
Do you feel that way?
Did I feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
That if I was trying to perform my sexuality.
Do you feel like you ever perform your attraction for men or for a man, like for yourself or for like someone else or for the room? Because I'm
not, if I'm really not in, I mean, I'm a really big flirt, but I just find flirting fun. But also shout out to anyone else who worked in the service industry. We're all flirts. We got paid to do it.
Well, that is a separate thing. Yes,
totally. But I don't feel performative about that for other people. I don't
think that's
a
gay thing.
Okay. That's not a way that I've felt. I've certainly like been a big flirt, but I don't feel like I'm like doing it for in a performative way. I don't know.
No, I feel like it was even for myself, to literally to convince myself.
Sure.
Then the next one is, you only notice the attractiveness of a man when someone else points it out. That's absolutely not true for me to this day.
Yeah. That I checks out. I notice attractive women without I don't need anyone to tell me.
Just
I know there are people I think who are hot
everywhere we go. Yeah.
Yeah. I love a hot person.
Then
men, women, theys, thems, all of it, you know.
You think your feelings for women don't count, or that all women have feelings like that, but that they're not valid because you think it's a phase everyone goes through. I have had people in college say that. There was this girl that I wouldn't say I was friends with. She was a classroom acquaintance who told me that she was straight, but she exclusively watched lesbian porn, and if she was masturbating, she only could think about women, but that she was straight and only interested in dating men.
I wouldn't have thought just the lesbian porn bit was weird. At first, I thought that was going to be about women's pleasure. But then if you're thinking about women
all
while you're masturbating, it's a step forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said any fantasy exclusively. So interesting. Right. Yeah. I hope she's doing good. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about her right now.
Okay.
Or the time that she got my car impounded. So moving on.
Oh, well, moving on.
You think it's objective and uncontested that almost all women are way more attractive than most men.
Okay, but I kind of do agree with that.
That is sort of just a general truth, but definitely.
I think it's a general truth that women are hotter than men. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know that's very binary, so maybe I should also open my spheres in the way I'm phrasing that, but I don't know.
Well,
I've always found the female form more desirable.
And to that point, like, all of this is written, like, within the context of the binary, for sure. And that is, like, ultimately, like, a lot of the criticism.
Totally. And also now I'm just having a moment that I'm like, why do I think all women are hotter? Because I've like seen women through like a male gaze my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Maybe. Looking at you, you know.
Every artist ever.
Every Renaissance painter of all, anyway.
Then, okay, just two more. So we have, you're only attracted to fictional men, celebrities, or men that are completely unattainable, i.e. your teacher, gay men, men in established relationships. Basically, you only like men if it's impossible for them to like you back.
I think this also can be a confidence thing of like, you can't be rejected if it's completely implausible.
Absolutely. And I think that like, outside of like queerness, I struggled with that like when I was younger. And it was like, yes, somewhat like attached to like coming out, but like it didn't totally get better after I came out. Like I think I had to like find myself before I could like have a crush on a real person that wasn't someone that was super inappropriate.
sure.
Yeah. Anyway, the last one is, you think men attracted women over-exaggerate their attraction to men, and you can't comprehend finding a man as attractive as they do. I mean,
I think that that can be real. I could understand how you would look and be like, I don't understand. Like, I can even think about people that I would have put in, like, the category of quote-unquote, like, boy crazy. Mm. And been like, I don't feel like that about men or boys or, like, at whatever age group I was. That there are people that I'm like, I literally could not care as much as you do if I wanted to.
No, that's a good point. But I've also heard, like, I think maybe straight, just again, anecdotally, like, straight or, like, identifying as straight female friends saying this, basically saying, like, that they don't think that, like, any women are really that attracted to men because, like, they couldn't be. And that, to me, has often read, like, as those women are probably lesbians or like mostly gay, like on a Kinsey scale.
Okay, I hear you.
And so like, because of their experience of like not realizing that they're gay, they're maybe like on a micro level kind of attracted to their husband, and they probably like love him emotionally. And so like that can get you somewhere. But like that could lead them, if they're blind to the possibility that they are queer, I think that it could lead someone to believe that like love is kind of like a dull thing, and that like lust isn't that exciting. If you never are able to like really fully experience it, like in the way that would work for you. Does that make sense?
Totally. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it does. And also like, I guess also to say like, I definitely have been really attracted to men. So not to say, I just think sometimes there are versions of it that seem hyperbolic. And maybe that goes back to maybe more of that performative thing. Maybe the people weren't as obsessed as they seem like they were.
No, absolutely. So that's really all that I wanted to read from those questions. A lot of them are like extremely redundant, and it kind of reads as like, are you a lesbian? Do you like men? Are you sure? Are you sure? But are you actually sure? Are you sure?
But are you sure? Are you sure that you're sure?
And so, yeah, it kind of feels like it's like confirmation bias-y. Like it wants so badly for everyone reading it to be a lesbian, is the flavor to me.
Okay. Okay. That's honest.
Okay. So for the recent backlash on Comp Het stuff, I wanted to talk about, there was a viral essay from about a month ago in 2021 by Evelyn Faze titled "The Problem with Comp Het." And this article does a great job of like taking us through the history of Comp Het discourse and the ways that recent conversations about Comp Het, and specifically like this document, has strayed from the original intent of Comp Het discussions. And
okay.
I'm not going to go all through this article because it is like a lot of heavy concept stuff. And that's, you know, this is a FUPdate. This is a little guy. But
listen, guys, this is a FUPdate.
Would encourage anyone who's interested in this theory to check it out, because I do think that there's a lot of good theory and information and just like stuff to think about in there. So
cool.
The problem with Comp Het, Google it. Anyway, I wanted to just read the conclusion because I think that this, she does a, or they do a good job of explaining why Comp Het is getting railed against. So,
okay.
They say that in conclusion, I think the reason why bi/pan/queer women tend to dislike this document, meaning the Cyber Lesbians Tumblr document,
is
is because compulsory heterosexuality accounts for the heterosexual norm, but not for the monosexual norm, nor for the cisgender norm. So like, obviously, heterosexuality, like, that's a norm. We can all, like, agree that, like, societally, that's a norm. And in Comp Het talk, we're talking about heterosexuality as the major norm that we, like, need to push against or need to be aware of. But it doesn't account for the fact that, like, monosexuality, so like only being attracted to like one gender of person rather than being bi or pan, is also a norm. And so like it's leaving that out, and it's leaving out that cisgender is also the norm. And so they go on to say that it seems as if attraction towards men is the only sexual norm in this document, which is obviously not the case. Moreover, all these signs of Comp Het can be relatable to literally everyone, which is why I wanted you to answer a lot of the questions.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
As a queer male friend.
And there were certainly things in there that I was like, yes, I align with this.
Absolutely. And so in this article, they say, as a queer male friend of mine said after reading the document, I'm starting to think that I'm suffering from Comp Het. So you could really change the word lesbian in this document, swap it out for bisexual or even heterosexual, and it would make just as much sense as a document as it does now. If anything, it proves that...
Interesting.
Because everything really almost was applicable to both of us, and I am a lesbian and you are not.
Right.
So they go on to say, this is exactly why some lesbians are so defensive of this document. Basically, you're saying that, like, anyone who is attracted to men in any way is brainwashed, and it couldn't possibly be like an original, true feeling. Oh,
sure.
And yeah, so that's then you create this dichotomy of like, not even really a dichotomy, it's just like the only gender that you could be attracted to with free will is women, which means that like you're a sheep or a lesbian, and that's kind of it. And so
wow, that's an interesting way to look at that, and it makes sense to me why. Yeah, I get it.
It seems, they say it, or they say, it seems to me that conceptualizing sexuality in this rigid way is very problematic. And this is the part I have this underlined, because I think that this is the key to why this Tumblr document was problematic. So they say that bombarding, questioning people with this document is even worse. So,
because then people are like, well,
yeah, you have all these people who are like, oh, okay, I'm having questioning feelings. I'm not straight. Like, I'm somewhere on the spectrum, like might be queer. I don't know. And they seek out this document and basically like test themselves. And it's like a 30-page document telling them that they're a lesbian. And so that could really hinder the progress of someone who's figuring out that like maybe they're non-binary or like any combination of like spectrum of things. And so it just limits people's ability to understand themselves at like a really pivotal time in the coming out process.
That's really difficult. It's the same problem with like assuming everybody's straight, that this is like gives you something that's kind of like, well, like if you're questioning anything, you're definitely a lesbian.
Exactly. And it is,
or definitely attracted to women or whatever it is, you know.
And it is what you said of like, okay, like heterosexuality was like the old norm, and we're creating this new norm of lesbianism. And it reminds me of, I think it is just like problematic white feminism, and like not seeing that like, oh, these oppressions that I experience are also experienced by other people in like different and varied ways. It's
right.
It's like very like self-centric. So in conclusion, the author and me agree that...
the author and me. Go on.
That, like, when we talk about compat, like, we could really probably just say heteronormativity and...
Yeah, like, sure.
Plus, like, patriarchy. And that would, like, not be exclusionary, but, like, probably get the point across.
Sure.
I don't know. But I do think that it's really good to be aware of this stuff, because it's, like... They're not wrong, at CyberLesbian is not wrong that people don't question the patriarchy enough. And I do think it's true.
I do think that was positive and almost like uniting in some kind of ways, like a straight woman, to be like, here are some ways in which, and like, yeah, I mean, we could say it, I guess this is what I would say, is like, yeah, here are some ways that straight women and, you know, queer women, lesbians, etc., have been affected by the patriarchy in similar ways, and like ways that we've like catered to men, and like maybe ways that your sexuality is affected by that. I think the thing that's positive about that is we could be like, yeah, like, cool, like women and femmes have things in common, tight. But the other thing I would say is actually you only exclusively hear that through a straight lens. And so maybe in some ways this like caused me pause or like different thoughts as like a straight person to hear the patriarchal juju through a queer or like lesbian lens.
And this lens assumes, as strongly as the patriarchy assumes heterosexuality, this article assumes lesbianism. So that is an interesting lens. Yeah, which I actually think,
like, honestly, refreshing exercise. Like, I like, oh, how the tables have turned, you know?
Yes. Oh my God. No, you're so right. And I think also that, like, something that maybe this document, ideology, discourse leaves out is how complicated it must be for heterosexual women to be attracted to their oppressor. That's really tough.
I mean, that's some shit. Ooh, that's a whole nother episode, you guys. I'm out here attracted to my enemies. Oh, God.
And then, like, the only other really kind of concluding thought that I had is that gay men can definitely experience this to a degree as well.
Of course.
That is like of not course. Acknowledged in most combat discourse. But I have to say, like, on the not the flip side of that, but just like to maybe get a 360 view, I just want to add that anecdotally, most of the lesbians that I know have had sex with a man, but most gay men that I know have not had sex with a woman. And I think that this could potentially imply the power of the patriarchy causing lesbians to fuck men. Like,
that's very interesting to think about.
So I think that that is something that I have always thought was true. I think, and my girlfriend and I talked about this the other day, actually, when I was going through this article, and she also has like never questioned that as a truth. It just feels right. But I also want to like not take that away from gay men because they're also affected by the patriarchy.
Yeah, of course. I mean, masculinity is a prison and the patriarchy is...
And I like, can never know what it's like to be a gay man or any other kind
I mean, everybody
man.
Suffers.
Yeah. Anyway, any other thoughts, feelings, conclusions on this comp-het chat?
No, I like talking about, you know, the shortcomings of some of this, but I also think it was like a worthy thought experiment to like really go through it as it is, because I think there are some good points there.
Yeah. No, and even in the ways that it's wrong, it like reveals other things, which I think is interesting.
Yes. Well, again, just like here I am, like tell me I'm gay and let me see how that feels, okay?
Let us assume that you're gay and tell us how it feels.
Well, on that note, guys, thank you for tuning in for the FUPdate. Happy Pride Month yet again to all those celebrating, which should be all of you, regardless of whether or not you have been told that you too are a lesbian by a document. As always, you can get at us on the internet via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLT tweets.
Bye.
Goodbye.